Cookie Jarvis, Tony the Tiger, and Mikey. It's Cereals this week on Tom and Hank Talk About the 80s. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Hank. I've done that twice in a week.
You've done that so many times. I was listening to one last night from like a long time ago because I told a new friend to listen to the podcast. I was like, oh, fuck. It's like, I better listen to this and see how idiotic we are. I mean, it's pretty high.
Just assume that it's idiotic and don't tell anyone about the podcast anymore.
No, I always regret it when I do because then I listen to an episode and I hear me going, smacking or just like marble mouthing, and then you're all smacksy back and forth. I mean, we're awful. I don't know how you guys listen, but once again, I really appreciate it.
Well, I'm going to take this moment to let everyone know this is the last episode.
Hey.
Not true.
Hey,
not
buddy.
True. You know, I always like to tell a little fib at the beginning of each episode.
You do?
I've noticed that I do that often. Sometimes I'll say I went and rode my bike. I don't have a bike, so that's the kind of thing that I do. I'm trying to stop.
But you know what? You would ride a bike. I picture you and Kermit riding a bike together.
Well, we look about the same when we pedal.
You do. And you actually do kind of look like Kermit a little bit.
That's not the nicest compliment I've gotten today. But thanks. I mean, he certainly sounds great.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll tell you, when he sings that Rainbow Connection song, though, it's all fucking over. I'm just a puddle of tears on the ground.
Me, too.
The Rainbow Connection.
The lovers. And me.
Yeah, as he's hacking on a cigar at the end.
Wait, is he?
No, he's not. Nope. Well, I hit the lamp. Not the painting this time, but definitely the lamp.
Something really weird just happened, and I witnessed it. So I gave you a documentary to watch a little while ago, and you finally have watched it.
I have.
Finally, you have watched it. And it was Tig, about Tig Notaro, and I'm so happy that you watched it.
I did not. That's not the one I watched. It's a documentary on sharks.
No, you didn't.
I didn't. There's the other fib. That's it. I won't do one next time. I did. I watched Tig, and it was so good. Well, because, first of all, I love her. Mm. Because her stand-up is great. But I don't know anything about her as a person. And it was, I'll be damned if it wasn't a horrific story.
Yeah, she has a horrific story.
So traumatic, yeah. and unbelievable in the timing of all these horrible things that happened to her. But she still went on.
Well, she, you know, Tig Notaro, I think, is the best comedian in the country right now.
She's incredible.
And she has this very specific, if you don't know her, most people do. She's had such huge Netflix specials. She had a special just a while ago. She has a very particular way of speaking and therefore delivering her jokes and her monologues. And it's very slow. And it's very deliberate, and it's off-putting to some people.
It's teasing. It teases.
Yes, and dry.
And very dry, and it makes you just be like, like, and then she drops the bomb right on you, and it's just like, oh, man, it was worth the wait. It was worth the awkward moment where whatever the thing she said just dragged on or was
she
repeated.
She does a bit on this newest Netflix special that is at least like 5 or 6 minutes at the end of that special.
The Indigo Girls?
Yes.
Thing? Oh my God. I mean,
it's long and it gets very uncomfortable.
I was in excruciating pain. I couldn't believe how tortured I felt. And then.
She's so good.
It was all worth it. It was just so great.
So I wanted you to watch this documentary because it was made because of these series of events that happened in her life. So she had a staph infection and almost died and lost a lot of weight. She's already thin. And then right after that, her mother died tragically.
Within a couple of days.
Yeah, 2 days after being home from the hospital. And then her mother dies.
By falling down the stairs.
She had a fall and hit her head on the counter and then died from that.
you know,
head injury.
It's like when I fell down the stairs. I watched that last night. I was like, fuck. Mm-hmm. That's all it would have taken. How did I survive that?
Anyway, not to take away from
Tig Notaro.
But so then I think within 2 months, because it all happened within 4 months of each other, of her getting ill, recovering, starting to recover, her mother passing, and then she found out she had breast cancer. And so just a week after she found out she had breast cancer, she was at the Coronet Theater at the Largo Theater at the Coronet in Los Angeles, which is a great comedy theater. Lots of podcast listeners know Largo because that's where a lot of the LA-based podcasts record their live podcasts, How Did This Get Made in particular. And she went up and did this famous set that was recorded, recording, and overnight, like, everyone was tweeting and this set was like 40 minutes of her talking about all this stuff that I just described. She had just found out she had cancer like a week before, and it's amazing. You heard snippets on the documentary, and it's available on like iTunes, and you can buy it. And so it's just really, it's a cool thing. But now look, you know, on the other side of everything, you know, now her and her wife have twins, and, you know, they're very happy.
But like the trauma didn't stop. Like,
no,
she wasn't able to have children because of what had happened to her.
Yep.
And it was just so hardcore.
It was.
And like, but to see that, like, I don't know, I love comedians, you know, I love what they do for us and how they, I love what they do. I think they're underappreciated in many ways. I think, like, in, you know, the Lakota Sioux culture, like the idea of the clown, like a lot of the Native American cultures, the idea of the clown and is like a sacred thing. And I feel like it's not like that here. And so bless her for going on and giving people something to laugh about.
And, you know, before they had their children, her wife, Stephanie, who's featured in the film as they're just kind of meeting and getting to know each other through all this stuff. And before they had their children, she did, pretty shortly after this documentary, she did a stand-up special for HBO and talking about the cancer. And she, through this documentary, you see her workshopping a joke over and over.
Yeah,
about how her boobs were... Yeah. Pissed off at her all the time, so they had
me. For complaining that they were small.
Yeah, for complaining they were small, so they were like, we'll show you. And so then she did an HBO special containing that joke, and you see it completely worked out, and it works, right? And halfway through, she's like, yeah, I mean, you know, I can legally, you know, walk around shirtless now. You know, I can.
That's true.
And she takes off her shirt and she continues the rest of the 35 minutes of the set with no shirt on.
Oh, wow. Remarkable.
And it's just, I just think she's cool and groundbreaking. And if you don't know her, I can't believe you don't. And please, you know, look out for her. But I'm glad you watched it.
She's really for people with a dry sense of humor.
Mm-hmm. Who can take a little bit of an edge in that way. Like, she's not super edgy. She's actually quite friendly about her comedy.
Yeah.
But she makes you squirm.
Yeah. Bless her.
Yeah.
So speaking of near death and almost dying, but not. Do you remember when we went to see Megan's show last week?
Yes.
And do you remember when we had so much fun at the show and we took the ferry into San Francisco and we had 10 minutes to make a 20-minute drive and we told the Lyft driver to fucking lay the fucking gas on and he got us there like 2 minutes after 8, which is great. And then Megan's dad was there and that was an interesting thing. And we just had a fun night and it was a little bit awkward, though, towards the end because we all had to go and there was a lot going on. And then... and then we almost died.
So we get into a Lyft, and it's late, and we are up. I mean, where were we even in the city? It was, like, up somewhere. And I was like, let's just take a Lyft home. It's fine. It's not tons of money. Let's take a Lyft home. So everything's going fine. We're talking about the play. We're talking about the play. We're on the 580, and we're about to go. Or no, I don't even know what it is.
It's the 80. We're about to get onto the Bay Bridge going to the East Bay.
And there was a lot of traffic, as there usually is.
And there's 80s music playing, and we're joking about it and talking about it.
Oh, my gosh.
And then...
like, it's all coming back to me.
Out of the corner of my eye. Yes?
So before you, like, as you were corner of your eyeing, I was looking around kind of like, what's that sound? And I was hearing, and it kept going for a long time. And then Tom, cornered of his eyed.
And then suddenly there was a car.
Oh my God.
A white car swerving directly towards us, directly towards me and the back passenger side. And it starts to fishtail as it hits another car and knocks it sideways. And then both cars start spinning in 360 degree circles with the screeching tires. And we're seeing it all happen. It's all happening right there, right next to us. And traffic is moving so quickly that I look back just for a moment to see other cars getting hit and spinning. And I see the headlights of this car going around in circles, headlight, taillight.
Oh my God.
Smashing into cars.
And that noise just kept going. And then you heard smashing. And the, and the poor little Lyft driver, he was real shook up.
Well, he thought we had been hit.
He was
not convinced until we got out of the car that we, and I was like, no, dude, you basically saved our lives. Like, he swerved slightly.
No, but he got it, and he did a really good job. And then he said, did we get hit? And I was like, no. And then when we got home, he got out of the car and looked. And I was like, no, you didn't get hit. And then we all hugged.
Well, and then I came home and sat down and was like, did that just happen? And then, I don't know, it was just really
a weird
thing to come close, because you know that you came close, but like, you can't quite appreciate it because you made it out without a scratch. We didn't get, if we had been hit, like, it would have been like, damn, that was really close.
I mean,
but it was still that close. We just didn't get hit.
My main thing that I keep thinking of is like, it would have been bad, because it was,
yeah,
the tail of it was inches, I mean, like a foot away from you, from your side. And so that's what I kept thinking about.
Anyway, so the show's fun.
Oh my God. We were doing really good. Like, things were kind of funny. We were like keeping it up here. Yeah. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
And then we once again just plunged it right deep down into the lake.
Yeah.
Well, with no windows open in the car. That's our style, I guess.
At least he didn't have on the Donald Trump channel.
No, like the other guy did, which is, and it wasn't. It wasn't Donald Trump. It was fresh air.
But
they were just talking about Trump stuff, and I was like, I do not want to hear this.
We're on
our
way to do something fun. I'm like, ew, I feel like you just pissed in our face, dude.
Yeah,
like, what the hell?
I didn't like that, and I thought maybe because he had good music on.
Yeah.
And then I thought maybe he thought, oh, these guys look like NPR guys. They look soft and liberal. They look pliable to the masses. NPR. I mean, he's right, but that like bummed me out. I was like, ugh, get me there soon.
I know. And then the rest of the ride home was just quiet, and it just didn't have any flash left in it.
No, the flash went out fast. Speaking of something uplifting, it's not. No, it is, but I do want to mention, because I'm watching it again for the second time in about a month and a half, and I just love it. And I know that a lot of our fans are also fans of true crime podcasts, and I'm thankful for that, and thank you, especially my fellow murderinos I know who are out there. So you will know a series, it's on Netflix. And it's called Broadchurch, and I've told you about it before.
Yeah.
But I just want to mention it, if you like true crime procedural, or it's a procedural, and so but it's from Britain, so it's better. And David Tennant, who was a Doctor Who, in fact, I want to say that he was the first of this kind of new wave of Doctor Who's, where it got really, really big again. I think he was the first one, I believe. And so it's this village of Broadchurch. There's a tragedy that happens, and then it centers around the woman who should be chief of police, but then the new chief of police comes in, and that's David Tennant. And it's just so good and so well done, and very, very, very dark. And there's three seasons of it, and they're all very dark, but they're British seasons, so there's only like eight. But one of the major characters on there is the mother of a child who is murdered, and she is the best friend of the woman who should be police chief. So the interesting thing about it is she is the new Doctor Who.
Awesome.
So both the first of the new Doctor Who's and the next one are both on the same series, but it is so good. I please watch it. It's dark, but it's fun to take the journey because it's written so well and acted really well. It's great.
Awesome.
It's great.
Let's watch it right now. Put this thing on pause.
Okay.
Well, it's been on pause the whole time.
Oh, my God. I think that every time, and then sometimes at the end of it, you'll go, were you recording? And I was like, yes. You've done that a lot, actually. Do you have anything else fun to say, or should we dive into our material?
Well, I was just going to comment on how when you were reading the little the little opening bumper, and you said cereal, and then all of a sudden your phone went ding ding, and Siri was like, "How may I help you?" And Siri on your phone thought the word cereal was
she really
beckoning
did.
Her, you know, calling her forth from the depths of digital land.
She really ruined a take. And then I couldn't get the magic back.
I found this for Siri on Siri on the internet. All right. That was funny. Good times.
So this week, we are talking about... I got real low. I cannot see you at all.
What happened? Hello?
This week... we are speaking about cereals.
Delicious, nutritious cereals.
Here's the thing about cereals of the 80s. Delicious. Part of my life. Huge part of my life.
And we have 7 boxes of cereal here now, which we're going to try each one.
Why didn't we do that? You know why? Because I think cereal's like super expensive.
It's like $6 a fucking box these days for a box of fucking Cheerios, unless you get the, you know, the cheap kind.
But I'd want to talk about some of like the weirder ones that we're going to talk about. But anyway, or try them, I should say. So we were actually, I mean, up until 1:30 this afternoon, we were going to do another topic.
We were. And I often change my mind at the last minute and create lots of havoc.
And you better be really thankful that you have a friend who's like, okay, is there anything else you'd like to do, you motherfucker? Like, why the fuck would you do this at 1:30 in the afternoon?
But this episode, this is so much more interesting than that, don't you think?
We both got really excited when we decided.
As soon as I was like, ooh, we get to watch commercials and look up old boxes of cereal and like...
We did. I did get genuinely excited because I typed maybe 4 or 5 different ideas for topics that I have written down in this huge book where we write our topics down. The super book. And I texted all of them to you, but I texted this one in capital letters. It's like cereals. And the interesting thing about them that we were reminded of is that I remembered, but yet it wasn't at the front of my mind about how at the end of every single cereal commercial. It was like, make Lucky Charms a part of this delicious, nutritious breakfast. Delicious and balanced breakfast. And there was always the same like 3 or 4 things.
A cup of milk, a cup of juice, toast with butter or margarine.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes fruit.
Like a grapefruit or a bowl of fruit. But it always at the end, and we've watched a bunch of commercials that we'll talk about, but there was an animated one, I think, for something. And even the balanced breakfast was animated in it, like it was drawn in, like part of this balanced breakfast.
You know, it must have been a thing where they're like that you have to do that. You know, it's like the food advisory board or something.
I actually think it says like in small letters at the bottom of the screen, it always said the U.S. whatever.
Yeah, right.
Deems this a balanced breakfast.
Yeah, like one bowl, not 7. I'm a huge cereal freak. Always have been.
Yeah, but if you were a little kid and you ate one bowl of cereal, 2 pieces of toast with butter on it, and a piece of grapefruit and orange juice and a glass of milk on top of the milk that's in your cereal, you're going to be full.
Yeah, wait, you get a cup of milk and milk in your bowl?
So you get milk in your bowl, a cup of milk, a cup of huge glass of orange juice, 2 pieces of toast, I mean, it all sounds delicious.
A tablespoon of butter on each one.
It sounds good, though. I made a gag noise, but I meant to.
No, seriously, I've always been, like, crazy for cereal. In fact, I rarely buy cereal anymore because I will eat the whole box in, like, 2 days. And I used to fantasize about having a bowl that was, like, the size of a mixing bowl that I could just dump all that cereal in, just, like, a gallon of milk and just pour that shit.
You do. It's called a mixing bowl.
I'm talking about a giant cereal bowl. Completely different. Yeah, but I used to, like, you know, eat all the cereal in the house. And my mom would be like, what the fuck? We just got a box of fucking Raisin Bran. What the hell? And I'd be like, part of a nutritious, balanced breakfast.
Although I don't have the juice, milk, toast,
or butter.
Or butter. So, once again, my mom worked at a Piggly Wiggly in Fargo and in a grocery store in our little town before that. But so she would get a discount. So, you know, do all of her, you know, all of our shopping, obviously, at the Piggly Wiggly. And so we'd get the cool cereals because she would get them from the store, right? And she'd have a discount. But one thing that I want to talk about, there's so much to talk about on this topic. Like, I was a little overwhelmed that we weren't going to be able to cover all these weird things that we discovered. But I just want to talk about a couple of things that I've picked for a larger conversation. And so we did get, you know, we got S'mores Crunch, and I loved Golden Graham, and, you know, all those things. We got them. But mostly we would get the knockoffs. So we would get those huge plastic bags. It's Post, maybe, I think. And it would be, so it would be Golden Puffs instead of like Honey Puffs or whatever. And then it would be Fruity Bites. And it would be like Fruity Pebbles. And it would just be these huge, humongous plastic bags. And, you know, when I, sometimes when mom would work, I would have to go do the shopping for the family. And so, you know.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, buy everything, right? And, you know, when you're 14 and you're shopping for your family and you have to get the bag of cereal and you have to get your mother's, you know, maxi pads, you know, like all that, it really makes you grow up quick. You know what? I'm gay. That's what happened. That's what I was like, nope, this is it. I'm not doing this for anyone else in my life. I am gay. I'm not going to have a wife ruin my life with maxi pads. God. And so, but those were worse because there was so much of it. And you were like, challenge on, you know? Yeah. Especially like a teenage boy is like, yeah, food. Oh my God.
Seriously.
So those were, you know, we've talked before about like the walking into a supermarket and having a whole aisle just be white.
Yes.
Packaging with black, you know, napkins, beans, beer, rice cereal, you know, like puffed cereal. And so the puffs, the puff cereal with the little like syrup on it, you know, they were crunchy with the coating or whatever. Were they like, I don't even know what they were, but that's like my favorite cereal. I really should have looked it up since our topic is cereal, but it just popped in my head.
Wait, are you talking about Sugar Smacks? Honey Smacks?
Honey Smacks.
Honey Smacks, okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
That's with the frog?
Yes.
Yeah.
Dig'em.
Dig'em, yeah.
Dig'em's his name.
Yeah, I'm talking about those. I like those a lot.
Those were really good.
And then the one with the bear, golden pops? Pops. And they were...
Yeah.
And they look like this. This is really good. Everyone's enjoying this a lot. But
Sugar Bear.
Sugar Bear.
Sugar Bear was his name. Sugar Bear. The cereal was Super Sugar Crisp cereal. Super Sugar Crisp.
Sugar is in the name of the cereal, but it's part of a balanced breakfast.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned... hold on. Well, that's one of my picks, is the Sugar Smacks. So should I come back to it?
You can do it right now.
Or should I elaborate on it?
Yeah, elaborate on it.
Okay. Because it has a funny history.
Yeah, love it. Okay.
Well, it doesn't really have a funny history. What I was going to say is, hold on. I need some water here.
Jesus.
All right. So Honey Smacks actually started off as Sugar Smacks in 1953 when they first started. Kellogg's created them. Out of all the cereals at the time, they contained the highest sugar content out of all of the cereals.
Oh my God.
It had 56% sugar by weight, they say.
No.
Yeah. Now, I couldn't verify that positively, but that is the information I was able to find.
My whole face is so open right now.
Second place came Apple Jacks with 48%.
I get that. They were so good.
Fruit Loops and Sugar Corn Pops were in the top four with 48% and 46% sugar. I mean, damn. But yeah, so they changed the name to Honey Smacks, you know, like in the 80s. And then they in the 90s, they changed it to Smacks. So they're just Smacks now.
But they still sell them.
They still sell them. They've been in production since 1953.
And is it still all sugar like that? They had had to have been retooled, right? I doubt it.
No, because that study was done like at the time.
Okay. So, they changed things quite a bit.
So they had to change things quite a bit. They also had to change it from Sugar Smacks to Honey Smacks, for some reason.
I'm not comfortable with a cereal called Smacks.
And so in the 90s, they were like, maybe we should change the name because we don't like it being called Smack. It just seems weird to market that to kids. And
well, because the connotation is drugs.
Yeah.
And heroin. Violence and heroin. And you when your mouth is dry.
Okay, thanks.
Smacksy.
Sugar Smack.
So I'm sure that it happens today, but it really started and continued to be a trend in the 80s to take every single thing that was popular and make a cereal out of it. I know that it still happens with Star Wars. Like Star Wars, they'll have Star Warios or whatever they're called. But, and there's BB-8s and there's all these different things. See, but so then in the 80s, anything that was popular at all, including desserts, became cereals. So the one that we can talk about on top of that is C-3POs, and they were basically Cheerios. All of these special cereals that came out about movies, and especially for the movies, they're basically already existing cereals just repackaged with a different name on it. Like for example, well, first off, I didn't tell you about one I found today, and I remember it. It was called Crunchy Stars, and it was the Swedish Chef from the Muppets cereal.
Yeah, what? What is that?
And it was called Crunchy Stars. And there was one that I really... Just let me find it. I'm a big boy on my own. Well, I'm not going to find it. So the one that I do want to talk about is Nerds cereal. So the thing about Nerds is that when you bought the actual candy, even if it was a little box, it was halved. So you had one flavor on one side and one flavor on the other side. And they did the same thing with the Nerds cereal. And was it sour, do you think?
Well, that's what I was trying to figure out. I'm like, well, is it Nerd flavor?
Yes. Yeah, it's Nerd flavor.
It's not just like grape and apple. Nerds taste like a thing, so I'm trying to understand.
And I think that they put, like, in the coating of them, I think they put the flavors of the candy in the cereal.
Yeah, okay.
That's so it had to be a little sour, right? That couldn't be. It couldn't be.
Hey, I don't know. We need to find out. Mm.
So, to take a few of the movies that were turned into things, so the C-3POs, now, like I said, for every new Star Wars movie that has come out lately, they've had their own series.
Well, and we watched that commercial earlier, and I was like, damn, they put a lot of money into this. The spaceships and the
figures, the actual, both R2-D2 and yeah. C-3PO. Then there was E.T.
E.T.'s.
E.T.'s cereal, and that was, they were in the shapes of E's and T's.
And for some reason, if I was eating that, I would just think about his gray, lifeless body in the riverbed. I would probably throw it up. I kept thinking, I'm like, ew, like, for some reason, it's making me think that we're, like, actually eating, like, chunks of his
flesh. And that's what it looked like on the box. And I think it was supposed to be chocolate.
Brown, fleshy chunks.
And, of course, it was chocolate and peanut butter.
E.T.'s favorite flavors, E.T.'s the favorite, commercial said.
E.T.'s favorite flavors. That's what he was like, phone home, goodbye. Love that chocolate and peanut butter.
Then he goes, good. And I thought it was the kid who's shoveling it in his mouth. And I was like, damn.
Kid. So then there are like a bunch of TV shows, right? Strawberry Shortcake, Crunchy Stars, G.I. Joe Action Stars.
You know, I'm a little upset about the G.I. Joe one because I don't recall ever seeing that before. And I feel like that would be one that I would have wanted.
It was 1988. So we were graduating from high school.
Yeah, I was done with G.I. Joe's.
Yeah, okay, and I think we were done with kids' TV and we weren't watching the cereal commercials. And I think, I think it was a regional release. I don't even think it was.
Yeah, it may have been.
Smurfberry Crunch. Mm. Pac-Man. Uh-huh. Now with Miss Pac-Man. And Super Pac-Man in it as well, a larger marshmallow shape. So the ghosts were the cereal. The okay, ghosts yeah. and the pellets were the cereal, and then the Pac-Mans were marshmallows. Mm. And then Mr. T. And so Mr. T was one of those that I was talking about where it's just Captain Crunch.
Yeah.
But it's Mr. T and... it's based on the cartoon, which yeah. we talked about like in our second or third episode, if you're brave enough to listen to those scary things. There's
a funny line in it.
In the commercial,
questionable.
So there's a lot of these commercials were questionable.
A lot of them, where they comment, with just a hint of brown sugar. It's like, wait, what?
And it was said it was real.
Like, Mr. T, what? Well, hold on.
We both looked at each other like, what? There was a lot of offensive commercials. I will be very honest. For these cereals, there was a lot of like racially charged commercials.
Created in 1984 by Quaker Oats. Really? That's weird, I thought.
Really?
Yeah. Isn't that bizarre?
That's interesting.
There's a great scene in Pee-wee's Big Adventure in the very beginning, the opening scene where he's waking up and making his breakfast and he gets a box of Mr. T cereal out. And he says in his voice, in his Pee-wee voice that's trying to do Mr. T, I pity the fool, but don't eat my cereal. And then he takes the cereal and he pours it all over his pancakes and eggs.
Yes.
And he takes a giant fork and he takes one bite and wipes his corners of his mouth and is like, well, I'm done eating breakfast, and walks away. I love that.
Did you ever have Bill and Ted's Excellent Cereal?
I never did.
Tail end of the decade here. We're 89.
Wow.
And, so there was just so many interesting, weird things. It's just like, it's such a obvious stab because it's a stab at commerce because it's... once you get something in a kid's head, they want it.
Yeah.
And so why not make a cereal? Like, why not have a cereal be part of all the other,
why not have Mr. a cereal T that's stuff? Full of sugar and fucking chocolate and, like, dessert?
Well, speaking of, so there is, I was very lucky to grow up. We didn't grow up with the Dunkin' Donuts, but we had something called Mr. Donut, and it was just as good, and I think it was almost the same thing. But Dunkin' Donuts had a very big commercial, a series of commercials in the 80s with the spokesman, with Mr. Donut, and he would say, he'd walk in, it'd be dark outside, and he'd get in, he'd say, time to make the donuts. And then he'd make the donuts. And so then Dunkin' Donuts in 1988, with that guy on the box, came out with Dunkin' Donuts cereal.
I'd try it right now.
You could get it in glazed or chocolate flavors.
Glazed, please.
Glazed is such a dirty word. Like whenever I'm at Krispy Kreme, I'm just like that one. Like I don't like to say glazed because I think I say it all weird.
Glazed custard filled. Please.
And he was in the commercial and he's like, time to make the donuts. And he made a little tiny little donut, teensy teensy one.
With a little roller.
With a little tiny roller, real daintily.
Oh, man. Yeah, I had some, I didn't get to eat sugar cereal. That was not a thing that my parents would allow my sister and I to do. And I doubt if we ever got anything that had more sugar in it than Raisin Bran, which was sort of like the one where my mom would be like, you know, one bowl.
Because the raisins were dusted. Because
the raisin had dusted, you know, sugar.
Dusted and sugar, yeah.
But we weren't allowed to have sugar cereal at all. It was like a huge no. We didn't even ask because we knew the answer would always be no. So I had to wait until I went to Robbie's house or Andy's house. And Robbie was a huge fan of Golden Grahams. He loved Golden Grahams. And his mom was a fan of 2% milk, which I disliked.
That's what we grew up on.
But I like it now. It was 2%. I don't drink milk anymore.
But. It's real. Well, I mean, me neither. But like when I see like skim milk,
yeah,
I was like, oh, yeah, that's what I like. Like yeah. I like skim milk. And then I see 2%. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. This is almost cream.
We were so poor that we used to have to get powdered milk.
We did too at times. Yeah.
And so that really sucked. And so my memory is, you know, it would be like we would go and we'd get the big plastic bags, but they would be of, you know, rice puffs, no sugar, just the puffs, like eating a freaking rice cake from the natural food store, like just a nothing flavor and like puffed wheat, no flavor, no sugar, no anything at all. And you mix that in and you'd have to mix the milk, the powdered milk, and you'd pour that cereal in. And it would just be fucking nasty. It would be fucking horrible. So going down to Robbie's house and having a bowl of Golden Grahams with 2% milk was like, fuck yeah. Oh my God. His mom would get so mad. We would devour boxes of cereal and milk at that house when we were young boys and teenagers. But that was his favorite. Golden Grahams cereal. And Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I can taste the Golden Grahams right now as I'm speaking about it, and I will tell you I will have a bowl of those before this month is over.
Yeah, I love those too. And we always had either a generic brand or store brand now, and or Rice Krispies or the bag of the Rice Krispies, like the basics. We had mostly the basics, and you know, there were four of us kids. My sisters are older than I am, but my sister Lisa had sleepovers, but I remember a sleepover where they were all around the table and we didn't have enough bowls for like 11 girls.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Right. Or we did. And so some were using like, you know, little mixing bowls and you know, everybody, you know, and they used all the, I was little. And I remember that they used all the milk. And I was pissed.
Oh, yeah. I would be very pissed.
I was so mad because it was Saturday.
You ever been so desperate you put water in?
And I have cartoons to watch. And I need you out of my kitchen. Just imagine me like six.
I can imagine you.
Berating people. On a regular basis.
I mean, I imagine it right now. I can see it.
And so I had to use
fucking water, man. Like the worst.
But I had to do it. I needed them to be wet.
Yeah, you got
it.
Yeah.
And you know what? On top of it, I think I ate it like on top of a fucking plate.
With a fork.
Imagine.
There was no forks to go around either.
Imagine little Henry with his hand on his hip, pissed off at a bunch of big girls.
Oh, boy. Oh,
boy.
Yeah. It's funny. My favorite cereals now, though, are Rice Krispies and Cheerios. Like, give me those any day. Love me some Rice Krispies and Cheerios. I don't eat as much cereal as I used to. Like I said, I used to really go off on cereal. And I feel like it was just a big waste of money.
Well,
why is it so fucking expensive?
I mean, it's so expensive. As I got older and you know, more sophisticated yes. and urbane.
Yes.
I would shop at Trader Joe's for my cereals, where you get your mueslis and your shredded wheats and your real basic things like that. But then I would find myself just dousing them in sugar.
Yeah, that's what I do now. I'm like, I just take a whole, you know, few spoonfuls of sugar right on top of that. I got into this one that's probably an old one. It's probably, I would guess it's probably from the 20s. Weetabix.
Oh,
which
yeah,
are like,
yes.
They look like little hash brown patties.
Yes, I love those.
They're so fucking good. Why are they so good?
I love those. And then one thing that I want to bring up is Life cereal, which I loved the flavor of Life. I loved it.
Yeah, I still love it. It's one of my favorites to this day.
And there's a particular, it's just real corny, isn't it? It just has a real corny yeah. taste. It's good. And so in the 70s and early 80s, Mikey, a little boy named Mikey, aww. They're like, Life cereal, even Mikey likes it. And they're like, hey, Mikey likes it because he's so picky that he won't eat anything, but he's eating Life cereal.
So then they want it.
So then they
won't
want
eat
it.
Yep. Until he likes it.
But then Mikey likes it, and he's super picky. If he likes it, we're all going to like it.
Golly.
So Mikey was famous. Like, that little kid was famous. I think there was only the one commercial. I don't think they made more. They just played it for years and years and years.
You know, you're probably right. I don't know. Why didn't we look? We should have watched that one.
Well, I have a couple pieces of information. So John Gilchrist was the actor who played little Mikey, and now he literally looks, I showed you a picture, he looks just like he did when he was a little kid, just
really
with like
does.
An old man head around, not an old man, like a guy who's our age.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's graying and he has a tight haircut, but his face looks like little Mikey's face. Like, it was shocking how he looked exactly the same.
It was weird, actually.
And there was an urban legend that was really big in the 80s and especially in the 90s, is that Mikey, the kid Mikey from the commercials, died because he put Pop Rocks in his mouth and then chased it with Coke.
Because God knows that will, that's a recipe for death right
and then
there.
And I remember, like, you don't do that. Don't put them together. Oh, my God. Like, Mikey died. He didn't. He's like a finance guy. But there were a few that I didn't remember or know about at all. And one of them that I thought was really funny, it was called the Morning Funnies, was the name of the cereal. Mm. And it was like different fruit flavored discs, but they were little smiley faces.
Huh.
So they
yeah,
called them the Morning Funnies. But the packaging for them were famous newspaper, just one little image of maybe five or six different famous newspaper comics.
Huh, weird.
And so it's called Morning Funnies, which, you know, the funny papers. And so it had, including Dennis the Menace, Family Circus, Hi and Lois, and Beetle Bailey were on the box.
Wow.
But the shapes were just this
newspaper flavor.
It looked like a smiling sun is what it looked like. And I've never heard of that. I've never heard of Waffalos.
Yeah, I don't know Waffalos.
That was a maple flavored.
We did watch that commercial.
Mm-hmm, maple flavored crunchy cereal that looks like waffles and tastes like them, apparently. And Rocky Road cereal.
That's another oddity.
I didn't know that. That's from 1987. And it's, so this is what's on the box. And that's what I said I was going to read this to you.
Yeah.
Sweetened corn cereal with marshmallows covered with a chocolate-flavored coating and nuts.
Chocolate-flavored coating?
Ooh. And Kellogg's just knew that they had this great, fantastic idea. And it was to put out this cereal called OJ's. And it was orange juice-flavored.
Oh.
So would it taste like a dreamsicle, though?
Oh, yeah, that's what it would taste like.
With the milk?
Yeah, for some reason I was thinking, like, it's going to, like, coagulate in your stomach.
Like acidity, right?
But it's not.
But it would be like a dreamsicle.
Yeah, because it's probably orange flavor, not real orange citrus.
Yeah, it's like that orange
and
flavor.
And they're probably really good, and we need to get a box of that.
Well, they were around for about 6 months in 82, so I'm not making 85, so I'm not making any promises. So speaking of Kellogg's, so a thing that I really loved when I was a kid, and then you still see them at like continental breakfasts and stuff, and it's the Kellogg's variety packs.
Oh yeah.
And it
yeah.
would come like 8 or 10 yeah. in a pack, and they'd be the little tiny boxes. Yes. And then you could open the box and then open the bag and you and pour your milk in use that as the bowl.
So fun.
I don't think I ever did that because I always took 2 or 3 and put them in because they weren't very much.
Yeah.
But I loved those. So you would get they kind of interspersed all their different cereals in, but most of them would include Crispix. Do you remember Crispix?
Oh, I love Crispix. Yeah, I forgot about that.
That was like wheat on one side and corn on the other side. Corn Pops, which we talked about. Special K, Frosted Flakes, Fruit Loops, Rice Krispies, Mini Wheats, Raisin Bran, and Sugar Smacks. And I just love that because you would get one of each flavor. And so you could have a bunch of them, and
so good.
And they were so good, but they'd be gone in like 2 days.
Yeah. I mean, that was another thing that, you know, we had at friends' houses. Not really at our house, but I used to go off on the Raisin Bran, though. I really, like, I had this, I used to freaking love Raisin Bran. I would eat it until, like, I had problems, you know? Like just, I don't eat it anymore just because it gives me bad nightmares.
I really liked Grape Nuts.
Grape Nuts are one of my favorites to this day.
I'm always afraid to buy them. In recent years, I've bought them and thrown them in some yogurt
because
it really creates such a cool crunch. But I was always scared because, you know, they're tiny and little, so they don't take up a lot of room in the bowl. But the moment you put milk in them, they multiply like tribbles.
And they soak up all the
milk.
And
they soak up. And so by your third bite, you're like, oh, I'm feeling a little... got the grape nut sweat.
Tastes like...
I'm feeling a little logy here. Oh, man down. Because you have to measure that. It's like half a cup and
it's true.
Are fine.
But also read the box closely. Very high fiber, extreme high fiber, it says. You know, there's like a warning on the back. Do not eat more than a half a bowl. You will be fucking sorry. And they meant it.
they did mean it. So a few more weird ones are Ghostbusters. And they were, it was like just rounds. I mean, it was just round pieces of cereal. Like it wasn't anything that signified anything. Pop-Tarts Crunch.
Oof.
And so it was like little pieces of Pop-Tart.
I mean, these are like stoners in the 80s going like, hey, man, like we should come up with another one, like Super Crunch, Super Sugar, Vanilla Crunch Berry Candy Cake.
That sounds great.
I mean,
it sounds great.
Patent pending.
Another one that I love is because we all know the Nintendo gaming systems.
Sure.
And so they came, Nintendo is, you know, pithy. They really know how to have a joke. So they came up with the Nintendo cereal system in 1988. And it's just like Nerds, it's another dual compartment box. So there's two flavors. So when I talked about Nerds, I didn't say that. So it was a separated box. So for Nerds, it would be grape on one side, strawberry on one, orange on one, cherry on one, and another combination. But for the Nintendo cereal system, it was one side was Super Mario Brothers. And so that was shapes of the mushroom and shapes of Mario. But it didn't look like it didn't look like any of those things. And then on the other side, it was Zelda. And they had marshmallows in them too, and it was shapes of Zelda. And it was actually really, really popular when it came out. They couldn't keep it in because Nintendo was such this huge force that you know, the technology was astounding. You couldn't believe how great the technology looked. So everyone kept going with that.
I have another oddity because I was sitting here thinking, they have so many different kinds of cereal. And so many of them are tie-ins to films or to television. I'm a little close to that mic, I think.
I'm really far away, so everything's great.
And I was like, there is no way in hell that in this universe we live in that they created an Indiana Jones cereal. Well, guess what? I was wrong.
Of course they did.
Of course they did. And what an idiot I was. It tied in with Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull, actually.
Oh, so in the 2000s.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
But still. I of was course. Like, what?
Well, of course. So they're still doing it then.
Yeah. But I was just surprised that they actually actually make it. I just think that's awesome.
I remember one that my dad used to, I think it's an old one, but it kept going all through the 80s, and it was called King Vitamin.
Ooh, I don't know that.
And it was like cornflakes. It was like basically cornflakes, and it had all these vitamins in it.
Oh.
And so, you know, we're talking about all these sweet ones like Rocky Road and S'mores Crunch. And then...
One of my favorites that I never got to have, probably had it at Andy Brown's house. Never got to have it at home. Cookie Crisp.
Yeah, I loved it.
Cookie Crisp cereal.
Oh, I loved it so much.
It's like the best. And in every commercial, they're like, cookies for breakfast? And like, yeah, cookies for breakfast. And you're like, fuck, what a great idea. You know, like, and the commercial like, says, it's okay to have cookies for breakfast. Uh-huh. It's Cookie Crisp for breakfast, it says. And you're like, well, the commercial says it's totally cool.
And it's interesting because we watched several commercials, and you'll talk, I think you're going to talk about a couple of them, but there was one where the you see, like, the commercial on a TV in another commercial, and you see the mascot and stuff, and then it pans out to live action, and it's a mother, and she's like, have you seen this commercial? This commercial says it's okay to have cookies for breakfast. Well, you know what? It is. And she goes to the box, and she says, it's because of these 8 vitamins and minerals.
No, I'm like, what?
That are put in. Eat up, kids. I approve.
I wouldn't let them eat it if it wasn't good for them.
I wouldn't let them eat it.
Okay, Mom. But yeah, Cookie Crisp was created by General Mills in 1977, actually. Okay. Their first mascot was a little wizard named Cookie Jarvis. Cookie Jarvis, because Cookie Jar, because it's cookies. And he would go flying around and introduce Cookie Crisp cereal. I'm having trouble saying Cookie Crisp cereal really fast. I say it 5 times fast. And he would turn their bowls of cereal into cookie jars and be like, you guys can eat this. It's so good for you. And they had 2 flavors.
And he said it just like that. You guys can eat this. It's so good for you.
chocolate chip cookies and vanilla wafer flavor. And then in 1985, they changed... the main guy, Cookie Jarvis, into the Cookie Crook, who had an adversary named Officer Crumb. He had an Irish accent, and Crook was always trying to steal. Like, we knew this from the Hamburglar, right? He tries to steal. We knew this already. We're not stupid. Give us back our wizard.
This is just the Hamburglar.
And then he would get, like, you know, arrested and taken away. But what was cool about it is that it was actually voiced by Lenny Weinrib, who... did the Time for Timer voice, who also did the original voices, the main character for H&R Puff and Stuff, and he did the original Scrappy-Doo voice. Puppy
power! And so he did a hanker for a hunk of cheese.
Yeah, so he did that. So I thought that was pretty cool, and what a great job he had. I would have loved that. Anyway, so yeah, Cookie Crisp. I believe is it still in production?
I don't know.
I think I did. I think it is. I could be wrong. You know, I've had a lot of fake news going around lately about this cereal thing. But yeah, you know, one thing I want to say right before I forget. Prizes in the box. Like, oh my God.
Yes.
Prizes in the box. And like, you can send away for stuff to get your free, you know, your free thing. Or they had little decoder pads or so many cool things. And I remember... how many times? Oh, my mom would get so mad when I would stick my hand in the box and feel around and try to find the prize. So I came up with what probably a lot of kids did, just getting a large bowl and pouring the whole entire thing into the bowl and then pulling the prize out and putting all the cereal back in.
Back in. That's what I did too.
Yeah.
And you could get rings. You could get little coloring books or packs of colors or
gliders. There was little gliders. There was so many cool little toys.
I mean, there were times when I begged for cereal only for the prize, knowing that I wouldn't like the cereal. But then you'd have to eat it.
I don't care. Just give me the prize.
But, you know what? Something I want to mention, but I do want to go back to the prizes too, is Kix.
Oh, I love Kix.
Kix were just like little corn balls.
They're still one of my favorites.
I love
also like a $7 cereal now.
And then, so funny, speaking of Cookie Crisp and the vanilla wafer flavor. So now, currently today, Nilla Wafer has a cereal.
I bet that's good.
And that's Post. So, you know, there's these two or three kind of cereal giants.
Yeah.
And it's Post, which is Grape Nuts, Honey O's, which are not the Cheerios, and like then Kellogg's, which is what's Toucan?
Oh, Fruit Loops.
And Corn Flakes and like all that. Kellogg's is the big one, I think, isn't it? And then General Mills, which is Cheerios, Kix, things like that. So it would always say a new cereal from General Mills, yeah, part of this nutritious and balanced breakfast.
Toast, juice, and milk to make it complete.
And butter.
Lots of butter.
Let's wrap up with a couple of things that I want to talk about, a couple more odd ones, but I loved making Special K bars, and I made them once for you.
You did make them for me. As soon as you said that, I was like, oh my God, I forgot about that. That was a long time ago.
And yeah, it was probably, it was when I was fat, so it was like three or four years ago.
Oh.
Now I'm very svelte and very worked out and man, very, very manly. And that's about it. But I mean, it's hot. But so, Special K bars, it would be, you know, well, I'm from the land of bars.
Okay, yeah.
You know, when you go to a funeral, you're going to have like 18 different bars. And it's all these different really sweet little confections that are all cut up into little squares. And it's not so much here in California, but I think pretty much everywhere else. And bar culture means something else there. And so, Special K bars were peanut butter, sugar, corn syrup, and Special K flakes, right? And you'd mix that all up, and it would be all sticky and gooey, and you'd put it into a glass pan, right? The sprayed glass pan. And then you would melt chocolate chips and butter and pour that on top of it, and it would just be like a chocolate crust on this thing. And they were so good. And that type of, my mom would make Cheerios cereal bars with like marshmallow and all that stuff too, but it was Cheerios.
I would love that. I would love that.
Did you guys make any of those types of?
We did Rice Krispie treats.
Yeah, so good. A classic.
Yeah. And it's funny, they wouldn't let us have sugar cereal, but if they made Rice Krispie treats, that would be an actual treat and we would get to, you know, have that. I love Rice Krispie treats. I do have one sad story where I put banana flavor in them one time and didn't tell my friend, and she came home, my housemate, and she came home and took a few bites and ate a couple and was like, they taste, something's weird. And she's like, why do those taste so odd? I'm like, oh, I put banana flavor. And she's like, what the fuck? And to this day, it's a running joke. I've known her for 25 years. It's a running joke about this.
Why about did this you do
banana
that?
Flavor. I was just experimenting.
Okay, you're an experimenter.
I meant to tell her, I just didn't, but I left them out. Okay. At any rate, yeah, so Rice Krispie treats were a big one. And then there was things like, you know, Chex Mix that I used to love,
yes,
that kind of stuff.
Chex Mix was huge.
Yeah.
Chex Cereal,
yeah,
which we didn't mention, and then Chex Mix, which is still,
I mean, it's a term.
It's a term. It's a term, and it's a business. Chex Mix is this brand. The Chex Mix is sold in bags, and the Chex cereal, yeah, is still sold in tons of different flavors and different grains. And so it's stuck around forever, and it became huge in the 70s, Chex Mix.
I remember it. I could eat some right now.
Was in it fact, like soy sauce, or was Worcestershire sauce? That's what we should have had.
When we do these food episodes,
we need to have the food.
I need to have that here, because when we did the candy, that was so great.
Yeah, but
not that we can eat like 27 bowls of cereal, but I would try.
We need to learn a lesson from the candy episode, because we were sick for days.
And I had candy for like a month after
yeah,
that.
You did. I was like, I'm leaving all this here, man. I can't fucking take it.
Anyway, so yeah, cereal. Love it.
I want it.
Go for a bowl right now.
Well, you know, another couple of the other ones were dolls. I forgot to mention. So there was a Barbie cereal.
Wow.
There was strawberry shortcake cereal, which tasted like strawberry shortcake. And there was Rainbow Bright cereal. And there was Gremlins. Because they're, but
the ones
I will say going down the line, I didn't mean to say Gremlins. I mean, they did have a cereal, but I meant to keep it in the doll family, and I was gonna say Cabbage Patch Kids, but I think they look similar.
I don't want to eat anything called Gremlins or Crispy Critters or
oh yeah, Crispy Critters. Oh, and Circus.
What the hell?
Circus animal cereal.
You know, I completely forgot about that until we watched the commercial, and all of a sudden it was like, boom, I remembered. I was like, oh my God. The ones that I always liked that we never got to have that are now produced seasonally are Frankenberry, Count Chocula, and Boo Berry.
Oh, yeah, what do you mean? Are they only at Halloween?
That's what I read today.
Oh, really?
That's what I've read. My sources tell me that that's a fact. You know, if anybody's okay, out there checking this stuff, you know, some of it's true.
Will you tell me if I mention this at the beginning of the hour?
Uh-huh.
Ice cream cones cereal? I didn't. So ice cream cone cereal was, so there were little shapes of like an ice cream scoop, and they were tiny, and it was either vanilla or chocolate flavored, and then it would be a little tiny cone that was also a shape, and it would taste like an ice, you know, like a cone.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, that was the thing. But I don't remember. I think they were a little later, and I don't think I was in the age group anymore, but they did look good, I have to be honest and say. And Raisin Squares.
That was another one that I had forgotten. And I was like, ew, that sounds... And then as soon as the commercial started, I was like, oh, I fucking love those. I remember those.
So
I'm
like
one of those weirdos that likes a raisin, though.
I do, too, a lot. So it was like a little... What were they? Little mini... Like little they frosted mini wheats, but yes. They weren't frosted, I don't think.
They were like...
And then they had a raisin inside of it.
Yeah. Each one had a raisin. So you knew. And every bite, you were going to get a raisin no matter what.
Yeah, I like that.
Oh, so good. Honorable mentions for me were... Trix, and Alphabits, and Apple Jacks.
Yeah.
And those were ones like, you know, like, I don't know. I just didn't have time to talk about every single one. And there really are so many goddamn cereals.
Well, there are, but I want to say Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch. It's my favorite.
That was really good.
So
but
good.
I would say my very, very, very favorite after talking about everything mm-hmm. is Golden Grahams.
I taste them in my mouth right
like,
now.
Like, I think we should go to the store right now. Like, I'm not totally not kidding. Like, I think we should go to the store and spend like $18 on Golden Grahams and just sit in opposing corners crying and eating.
Staring at each other, grimacing while we eat. Oh, no more Golden Grahams. Must stop eating. Oh what God. Was the commercial that we saw where the kid's like, I love them though?
Oh, shit.
Was that?
It was some
odd. It was one of the weird ones.
It was a weird cereal. And
was it s'mores? I think it might have been the s'mores.
And he eats it and he goes, I love them.
And he does.
Oh, poor kid. All right. Thank you guys. As always, please rate, review, subscribe on iTunes. And and Instagram.
Tom Hank Talk 80s. Yeah, Tom Hank Talk 80s.
Yeah, Tom Hank Talk 80s.
Just sound like you're a caveman. Tom Hank Talk 80s.
And email. You can email us at Tom and Hank Podcast, all spelled out. Tom and Hank Podcast at gmail.com.
We are welcome. Comments, ideas, feedback.
Feedback.
As long as it's good and it caters to my needs. That's not true.
And I would say don't send nudes.
Please stop, whoever's been doing that. Please.
Okay, I will.
Stay rad, everyone.
Stay awesome.
Bye.
Bing.